Greg, a 64-year-old retiree, has $650,000 saved for his retirement, but there are some hidden dangers lurking in his portfolio. Can he make it all the way through? Stick around until the end to see if Greg gets a red, yellow, or green light for his retirement future. Welcome to Rise in Retirement,
where it's our priority to help you make better informed decisions when it comes to your hard-earned dollars and your retirement.
I'm Jet.
And I'm Taco.
We are financial advisors at W.A. Smith Financial Group, a firm dedicated to helping thousands of people across the country focus more on their life and worry less about their money. And today's case example is Greg, who's 64 and he is in retirement, but now he's starting to wonder, are some of those hidden dangers out there that are, you know, could be lurking in his retirement portfolio going to come back to haunt him?
Yeah. You know, Greg's been retired for a few years. He's got $650,000 in retirement, pretty frugal guy, but just starting to second guess everything. Markets have been running hot and he's been doing great and he's scared, right? He's starting to worry, does this actually last the rest of my life?
Yeah.
And so it's a great topic to be able to cover here today.
Yeah, I mean, jumping right into it, the sequence of return for Greg on his money has been really good out of the gates. You know, he retired and the markets shot up and, you know, he actually retired with less than $650,000 and he has that now because of gains to the portfolio. And as you'll see, he's a fairly aggressive investor. But really what we're trying to figure out here is, does Greg understand all the potential things, those hidden dangers I alluded to that are inside that portfolio that could set him off on a wrong path here over time? Yeah. And if you stick around to the end, we'll tell you whether Greg has a red light, yellow light, or a green light with this scenario. As far as can he stay retired, will things work out the way he hopes they will?
And if you got a specific topic or situation of your own, make sure you drop a comment below and we'll make sure we discuss it here on Rise in Retirement. Like the video, make sure you subscribe to our page for future content here as well.
Let's jump into Greg's scenario. So as you said, 64, he's divorced, has an adult son who is doing okay for himself. Greg does have a goal. He wants to leave the son something. He hopes that there's some money left over that he could leave as a legacy to his son. He retired a few years ago. Things have been going pretty good. He's got about $650,000 in his accounts at this point in time, but he's been doing some research. He's been watching, he's been reading, he's been searching online, he's been reading articles, and he's starting to get a little worried that he doesn't have a plan that is robust enough to potentially plan proactively for some of these things that could be lurking.
Yeah, and as he's doing some due diligence, finally, he's asking questions of his advisor, mm-hmm. right? And he's starting to ask these concerns. Do I have, you're good, Greg. And that's kind of just the only response he's getting back is, you're good.
Why is that? Like, to me, the number one thing as to why, in this case, Greg's advisor would say, don't worry, Greg, you're good. It's got to be withdrawal rate. Right. I mean,
it is right. So like in Greg's situation, he's got, like I said, $650,000 between some brokerage account type of investments, 401k plan that was rolled into an IRA. He's got a variable annuity out there that he bought through a bank. You know, he kind of just plugging things all over the place. He's got some checking, savings, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Pretty frugal guy. You know, he's spending about $5,000 per month in it as a whole. He's got a little bit of a mortgage still remaining. I think it's got 5 to 7 years left that he's going to continue to be making a mortgage payment. So that's out there. Got mm-hmm. some debt. He's got pension coming in of $1,800 a month, Social Security of $1,600 a month. So he's got about $1,600 gross that he needs to take off of that $650,000. So call it roughly a 3% withdrawal rate. So as you just mentioned, there's the green light that any advisor is going to tell him, yeah, you're good.
Right? We'll give him green light.
It is green
on that
light
scenario right now, if it were just that.
Now, the big thing, too, with a Greg is he was teetering yellow to green when he retired 3 or 4 years ago. Didn't really do much planning. It was kind of just, hey, I'm done working. I've got, you know, a little bit of a wealth accumulated. And then he's been kind of fortunate that not only has he getting the, you know, he gets the income that he needs, but markets have done really, really well. So it's kind of just call it good fortune. It hasn't been a true plan in place that says, hey, here's how you're going to get through the next 35 years of your life at this point. So we'll talk through, you know, kind of some scenarios or, you know, how some of these hidden dangers can come into play that haven't been addressed yet for Greg.
I think it's important to note too, you mentioned IRA money that was rolled over from a 401k. You mentioned a non-qualified, you know, brokerage account where he's got some dollars invested. Very cookie cutter. It's an 85% equity, 15% fixed income mix. So pretty aggressive. And Greg is sort of a novice when it comes to this. He's following the advisor's advice. The advisor's allocating him into one of the preconceived portfolios. And one of the things that is important to note is we'll go through hidden dangers that someone like Greg should know about. Both the IRA, $250,000, and the brokerage account, $250,000, have the exact same investment mix. And they are 100% invested in mutual funds, so actively managed mutual funds, which we'll talk about here in a second as to why that's important. But let's jump into some of these hidden dangers that Greg needs to know about, or at a minimum, he has to have an advisor that's willing to talk about these proactively.
Yeah. And so I'm going to, you know, start with the first one. You just mentioned mutual funds. And so one big component that gets overlooked many times with those cookie cutter type of approaches, which I can't stand, is they're not very tax efficient when it comes to owning them within that brokerage account.
Yeah, so this is the this is the non-IRA account.
Correct. So we got $250,000 in there with mutual funds that are passing through. We just mentioned markets have been doing really well. Well, these mutual funds pass through those gains to the mutual fund holder with no say whatsoever, right? They're usually, and many of you probably see this sometimes, if you check your statements, look at this, usually in December, if you own a mutual fund, you're getting these capital gains that, again, you have zero control over. They're showing up on the 1099 at the end of the year, and you owe the tax liability on that. That's as a capital gain distribution. Even though you did not physically sell anything, the mutual fund inside, there was activity, and they pushed those tax liabilities onto you.
Yeah, and why are we telling you this? I mean, Greg is in a good position, you know, 3% withdrawal rate. If things stayed that way, he'd be good. He'd be good throughout retirement. But a couple more dangers that we're going to talk about could change that withdrawal rate pretty quickly for him. So when you're overpaying or you have tax inefficiencies inside your portfolio, these are some easy things that you can adjust or that you could do differently to keep a little bit more money in your pocket every year. Because in this situation like this, Greg, every dollar counts, especially over the course of a 25, 30, 35 year period when Greg has a goal of leaving some money to his son, right? It'd be different if Greg's goal was, oh, last check bounce, I'll spend it down. Green light all the way here in most cases. So I'll jump into, kind of alluding to that. There's not a lot of diversification between the two accounts. All those mutual funds and the tax inefficiency there. One bad sequence of return for him. Imagine he keeps it at 85% equity and we go through a major market downturn and either Greg doesn't make adjustments in time or the advisor doesn't make adjustments in time. Nobody can time the market here. So it's not easy to do that for anyone. All of a sudden, Greg has maybe $100,000 or $150,000, maybe $200,000 less than what he had today. He still has the same income need. He still has tax inefficiencies going on. We don't know what the future of taxes looks like. Most people would bet taxes probably going to go up over time. So all of a sudden, Greg has a smaller pot but the same income need, and that withdrawal rate goes from what, 4, 5, 6, 7% in some cases?
Yeah, could get a lot higher. And, you know, you mentioned, again, I'm going to go back to taxes a little bit here too, is that, you know, Greg being a divorced single tax filer, there's not, those brackets start getting pretty small, you know, when you're not filing jointly. So those extra little bit of taxes, you know, things like that, those start piling up and can kind of hurt you there. So,
yeah.
Another big one, again, on the mutual fund side of things is costs, you know? And so in this situation where Greg's going to his advisor asking him, hey, are we doing all the right things? Should we be making changes? I'm a little concerned. You're good. Greg's paying kind of double whammy the fee. So within those mutual funds, there's internal costs.
Yep.
Right. And there's expense ratios and 12B1 fees, things that ultimately Greg is paying based on the return, right? It's all just coming out of the return of that mutual fund. In addition to that, the advisor is charging a management fee as well. So I think when we broke this down, it was almost 2% in total cost between those mutual funds, that variable annuity that he had out there, 2% going to the advisor or to the fund managers.
Companies, the products, yeah.
Which, you know, that's pretty excessive at the end of the day. And so that's money that's coming out of Greg's pocket into someone else's. Now, we're a fee-based advisory firm. I'm not down on fees, but, you know, value has to be there if you're paying a fee.
Yeah.
You know, I love the saying, a fee is what you pay, value is what you get. Greg's not getting any proactive advice. He's really not being educated or told how he can become a little more efficient, but yet he's paying 2%.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so you've got unnecessary tax taking a bite out of Greg's options. You've got fees taking a bite out. And then the big one that everyone thinks about is healthcare or long-term care needs. Greg's one bad health scare away from potentially finding himself in a Medicaid spend down scenario where you can, you know, in some cases or a lot of cases, you can kiss the legacy desire of leaving some money to the son goodbye in that situation. And he becomes a burden to his family in some cases, which Greg doesn't want to do. Not, I've never met anyone that says, oh yeah, I'm comfortable becoming a burden to my family, to my son, to my daughter. You know, Greg's got grandkids. They're important to him as well. And he wants to be able to not only leave money to his son, but it's also for them as well. So I think in this scenario, the two things I want to get across as we wrap up. The first, Greg, he's a yellow light in my eyes, close to green, a lot closer to green than red, even with that 3% withdrawal rate. And I'm not trying to fear monger people here. My point is that 30 years is a long time for these unpredictable things to affect the bottom line of a portfolio and how much you can pull from it.
Yeah.
So he's a yellow light. I think he's got to be a little careful.
Yeah.
Has to make sure he has a plan. And number two, you read articles, and I want your take on this. You need $1 million to retire. You need $2 million. You need $5 million. We don't see that.
Right.
Now, it depends on your lifestyle and how much you spend, but people like Greg, $650,000, I think he can have a really successful retirement with what's quite a bit less than $1 million. It's all about, what do you need the money to do for you?
Yeah, it's your spending at the end of the day. I mean, I've worked with individuals that have $5 million who are tight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say what you say, that's their problem. They're spending too much money, probably. We've worked with individuals that have $250,000, but really good pensions or Social Security, or, you know, or just very frugal, that are having a great, successful retirement. Sure. So it's about spending. It's not about the asset pool itself. And it's about having a plan. So, you know, again, Greg's, I'll call it a green light with a lack of a plan, which leads to a yellow, you know, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, in any situation, you have to understand what's the next 30 plus years going to look like? What are those risks that your portfolio may face? And whether you have a 2% withdrawal rate, a 3% withdrawal rate, or a 5% withdrawal rate, make sure that you have a plan to address those risks and ideally maintain green light status throughout, be able to spend confidently, not have to worry about that, you know, one bad year in the market completely shattering your next 3 years of retirement, or paying too much taxes having a big impact on your retirement. So address the details and the risks that are out there.
Yeah. And a great option for you, in the link, in the description, there's a link below where you can click on that. If you'd like to schedule a complimentary, no obligation, no cost retirement tune-up financial review with one of the financial advisors here on our team at WA Smith Financial, just go to that link, submit your request. We'll schedule a time. The retirement tune-up financial review is designed to help you understand exactly where you are today, what that next 10, 20, 30 years could look like for you, whether your portfolio is positioned in the right place, how to get income. We cover all the things we talk about on Rise and Retirement is what we do in real life here for clients that trust our firm to help them out. So
yeah,
when you're ready for a tune-up, hit that link and schedule your time.
It's a second opinion, and whether you do it with somebody like us or you do it with somebody else, make it a priority. Get a second opinion. Make sure that you have all the proper pieces together. And if you like today's video, again, drop a comment below. We'd love to discuss your situation or a topic on the next episode of Rise and Retirement. But until then, we'll see you next time on Rise and Retirement.